Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
Get your hopes up. And if they're up, it's time to keep them up. And if they're already up, it's time to go a little higher. Somebody say it's time to go a little higher. Just think, some of you used to say it's time to get high. Now you're saying it's time. Oh, is that too much? It's 11 o'clock, right? It's 11 o'clock crowd, right? All right. Before I read my text, I want to wish my son a very happy birthday. This Friday, Tyler turns 18 years old. Wow. 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 I cannot believe it because I feel like I'm 22, and here he is, 18. He is such a blessing to Mandy and I and his sister, such a blessing to this church. I'm proud of you, buddy. I'm so grateful for your vision for Kingdom, the way you lead worship. You've grown as a worship leader next door on Saturday nights, and then all of the things you do here that are unseen, we appreciate very, very much. And Alyssa, thank you for showing up because you've kept Tyler in San Antonio at least for a little while. So we appreciate that. I told last week he on Monday night he had some plans to go to Vegas for a while and then offer to move out to El Paso and LA and he was gonna do one of those and then Alyssa shows up and now we don't hear about him moving anymore. So thank you, Alyssa. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1. Now faith. Not then faith, not yester faith, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That means without hope, you can't have faith. We're a faith church, but we're a hope church because we need hope so that we can build our faith. Turn to three people and tell them, get your hopes up, get your hopes up, get your hopes up, get your hopes up. Find one or two more. Get your hopes up. Get your hopes up. Tell them, get your hopes up. We're that kind of church. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. So thank you so much for joining us today. Online, get your hopes up. If you tested positive for COVID, get your hopes up. It's not going to take you out. That's a part of your new testimony. I don't know what you're facing, but I know that hope can conquer it all. Last week we talked about this phrase, get your hopes up. Most of your life, if not all of your life, you've never heard that phrase until last week. Although many times you've heard many people say, don't get your hopes up. They try to minimize your expectation so that you are not disappointed. I want to tell you, don't minimize anything. Maximize everything. Maximize your hope, your faith. Maximize your expectation. Maximize your strategy, your plans for whatever vision that God has given you for 2022 and beyond. Get your hopes up. We talked about hopeless people are dangerous people. You show me a person with no hope, I'm going to tell you get as far away from them as you can. Because a person, if they go long enough with no hope, they're going to implode, explode, and you don't want to be anywhere around them when that happens. You can either be hopeless or hopeful. They're at odds with one another. That is your choice. The church can't choose. Your wife can't choose. Your best friends can't choose. Your life coach or mentor can't choose. You and I have to choose every day. I am going to be a person of hope, full of hope, hopeful, or I'm going to be hopeless. You can't be both. Then we talked about the devil knows if he can steal your hope, he can steal your future. Sometimes the devil is not after your money, he's after your hope. Sometimes the devil's not after your job, he's after your hope. And we ended last session talking about NASA, that the brightest minds in the world sent that shuttle all the way up to the moon. And as smart as they were with everything that they had going for them in 1969, when the shuttle left, at that point, hope took over because they had done all that they can do. Can I encourage you, Living Way, online and in the room? When you have reached your limitations, that's when hope in Christ must kick in. When I have done the possible, that's when my hope that the God of the impossible is going to show up in my life. One of NASA's quotes is, failure is not an option. What would you do in 2022 if I told you you could not fail? Oh, come on now. What would you wake up tomorrow thinking about if I told you everything you do tomorrow is going to work in your favor? What would you do? What has been holding you back? What kind of fear would be released if I told you, hey, tomorrow, all day for the next 24 hours or for the next week or for the next 11 and a half months, you cannot fail? See, a lot of us think losing is failing. You can lose a battle and win the war. You can lose a quarter and win the game. You can be down at halftime and still rally back. Can I encourage you in 2022 to get your hopes up? Failure is not an option. If failure is removed as an option, you will do whatever it takes to make sure that that you get the job done, and where you fall short, that you've got enough faith for God to step in and do what only He can do. Moving into some new material. So many people are planning to fail. In 2022, they use words like maybe, might, and try. Those are fantasy words. That's a fantasy world. When I ask somebody something, they say, well, I'll try to be there. In my mind, I already mark them as absent. Because if you try to do anything, you are already setting yourself up for failure. If you try to do something, you say, I'm going to try and do this in 2022. In your mind, there is 10 excuses that are already ready for you to use if the job does not get done. I want to encourage you, kill that spirit of maybe and might and try, and move to the realm of it shall be done. It will be done in the name of Jesus. Not I'm going to try, I'm going to do it in Jesus' name. We have made common and accepted the phrase, and one of my best friends uses this all the time, and I check him every time he uses it, which leads me to say he doesn't use it on purpose, but now it's just a part of his life so much he uses it all the time without even knowing he's using it. And even if he doesn't know the reason or that he's using it, it is still preventing him from being or doing what God has called him to do. And that phrase is, it is what it is. Some of you are guilty of saying, well, it is what it is. I don't have any money. It is what it is. Well, my husband's always going to be that way. It is what it is. Well, I came to Christ late. Now, my teenagers, they weren't raised in church. It is what it is. It is not what it is. It is what you say it to be. It is what you declare it to be. It is what the promise of God. Come on, Living Way. Let's praise. Let's get excited about what God has promised. Not what you said, not what they said, but standing on what God said. I'm here to destroy that way of thinking. There's three phrases that I want to move through in the next couple minutes. This is the first phrase is, what if it doesn't work? What if I start my business? What if it doesn't work? What if I begin to tithe? What if it doesn't work? Put up the graphic with that big red line. It's the only color we'll have on this screen all day. We need to get rid of the phrase, what if it doesn't work? That's hopelessness. When you say, what if it doesn't work, you haven't been talking to Jesus. Jesus doesn't talk about the failing options. Jesus doesn't talk about all of the excuses that we could use. When you say, what if it doesn't work, you have checked out from the realm of faith and hope. And so I need you to move from the hopeless place of what if it doesn't work to this. What if it does work? Talking to the singles. You've been dating a lot of losers. And so, come on now. If you're not married, they're all losers that you've dated before, the one you're with now. Hopefully he or she is the right one. So not giving up on relationships because you had 10 bad ones or 3 bad ones. Say, what's the use? It never works out. What if the next one does work? So shifting your thinking and your mind and your spirit, listen, from what if it doesn't work, hopelessness, to what if it does work, now we are in the realm of hope. Now we're thinking, all right, my business failed that way. Now I know how not to do it. But I believe that this time it is going to work. I believe that this relationship, it is going. I believe that this position at my job or my new job, I believe this is the job that I'm going to be able to be promoted and grow in. I believe that this is the one. That's a place of hope. But this is where we move from, what if it doesn't work, hopelessness. What if it does work, that's hope. To the third phrase, And this is one of faith. Not what if it doesn't, not what if it does, but the third is when it works. That's faith. There is no when it works unless you move to the place of, I believe that this next time, what if it does work? That's hope. But faith kicks in and starts saying, when it works. Can I encourage you in 2022 to get so full of the Word of God, to get so full of the presence of God, that not only is failure not an option, but every situation you look at, you're not looking at the worst that could happen. You are looking at the absolute best thing that can happen. That is faith, that when I show up, this is going to happen. What would it be like if when we visited hospitals of family members who are laid up in there on their deathbed, what if we didn't go in there saying, well, how am I going to comfort them? What if we went in there saying, I believe that when I go in there, literally all of the monitors are going to change. I believe that that person laying in that bed is going to get up. I believe that there's a miracle waiting in that hospital room, that when I show up, things are going to change. How about when you go to the bank and you're looking for that loan for $100,000 to get your business started? How about not going in there with your head held in your hand already saying, well, I'm probably not going to get it. Nobody's ever going. How about saying, well, when I go in there, they're going to offer me $1 million. They're going to do something. How about before I ever get there, I'm going to get a phone call from somebody. You say, that's crazy. Yep, crazy faith. Yep, get your hopes up. I'm talking about a realm that most people don't get to. And I'm telling you, not, well, if it doesn't work, I'm telling you when it works. It will work for those that work the Word, work their hope, and work faith. Somebody say, get your hopes up. Get your hopes up. The only way to move from hopeless to hopeful to faithful is Jesus. The Bible mentions this word hope 129 times and is one of the most important virtues of Christian living alongside with faith and love. We'll probably get to this in the next couple weeks, but the Word says that the three greatest virtues we have are faith, hope, and charity. Charity is love. Faith, hope, and love, but the greatest is love. This is where Dr. King's message should saturate into every part of our life. The Bible talks about, doesn't matter if you speak in tongues if you don't operate in love. Doesn't matter if you prophesy but don't operate in love. But let me also preface what I'm about to say with this. Love is not coddling you and stroking your ego. Sometimes it is. But love can be chastisement and rebuke and reproof, saying, hey, you need to get yourself right. Hey, you ain't living right. Hey, you're out of focus. So sometimes that's what love is. But you can have hope and you can have faith, but unless it is in the foundation of love, because what you love, check this out, is what you'll be faithful to. So I love God, which allows hope to be born, to be birthed, which allows me to build faith. Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If faith cometh by hearing, and faith is built on the foundation of hope, then the word of God will inspire hope, which will build faith. If you need hope, turn off the news and get in your word. If you need hope, quit listening to them and start talking to him. If you need hope, fast a little, worship a little, do something with Jesus that is going to get your mind, your eyes, and your focus off of all of that stuff and back on Jesus. One of the most amazing things about this text is the Bible declares that hope precedes faith in Hebrews 11:1. Before there is faith, there must be hope. Hope believes that tomorrow is going to be better. Faith demands that tomorrow will be better. Hope gives that feeling that, hey, tomorrow you're going to get your healing. Today you're going to get your healing. Faith demands that you get, oh, come on now, don't miss that word. Hope believes for it. Faith demands it. Faith demands that your life match the word of God and the promises of God. That's why I want you to have hope. Hope brought you to the church this morning. Why? Because you could have still been in bed today, or maybe you could have just turned over and flipped on the live stream, but you got out of your bed to show up at church today. That is hope. But I believe that hope has given way to faith now that you're in the room. Hope said, I believe God is going to speak to me, but faith demands that the word of God be established and spoken into your life. I want Israel's spirit to be in this place today saying, God, I showed up. Hope brought me to this place, but I'm not leaving. I'm not ducking out early. I'm not going somewhere else. I'm not going to be distracted. God, if you've got a word for me, a move for me, a vision for me, hope brought me here, but faith is going to take me the rest of the way. If faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, then hope is the womb, the incubator for faith, the place where faith is conceived. Without hope, faith is aborted. You know what I love about hope? If you have this much Holy Ghost, you should have hope. I don't care how bad the first 16 days of January have been. I'm going to tell you what, they've been blessed for me. But I'm going to tell you what else. The devil's after my money, which I know that means God's going to do something good. My truck's been in the shop 3 times. David Miller, don't talk about my Ford truck. I know that's what it was about to amen. My truck's been in the shop. Just things breaking down, water pipe leaks. My four-wheeler quit running. It sounds kind of like I'm writing a country song. But I go to bed. Sometimes glad that the day's over so I can start again. But every day I wake up saying, oh, today's going to be better than it was yesterday. I don't know how much faith you have, but all of us have a measure of faith. But all of us have a measure of hope today too. And it doesn't matter how dark the night has been. It doesn't matter how deep the valley is. There should be a hope in us founded in Jesus Christ that tomorrow about this time, next week about this time, next year about, it's going to be better. Somebody say, get your hopes up. I got 10 and a half minutes left. Without hope, faith is aborted. One of the worst things that I've had to counsel people through is when they miscarry a baby. It's tough watching mothers. It's something and a scar that is a testimony for sure. Because I believe every miscarried baby is waiting on those mamas in heaven. And forget Peter at the pearly gates. Those babies are going to be waiting for you at the pearly gates. Miscarriage is a tough thing when you want a baby and it's taken from you. But you know what's a little more horrific than miscarriage? Abortion. Because now you're killing what some mama has cried over because it was taken. You couldn't keep your pants up or your pants zipped. You wanted to live your life, and so you abort. And so the enemy loves to abort anything, whether it's the millions of babies that have been killed in our nation in the last 4 or 5 decades. But I'm going to tell you the other thing he likes to abort. He likes to abort faith. Why? Because hope will always keep you in the right mind frame. But faith is the thing that demands that your life, that it matches the promise of God. And so hope will always give birth to faith and conceive faith. But then the enemy comes along to abort everything that God has started in you. Sometimes getting pregnant is not hard. Staying pregnant, carrying the baby to full term, that's what begins to be the issue. Without hope, faith is aborted. Hopelessness is the miscarriage of the heart. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 22. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. That word deferred means you move it somewhere else. The reason I know what deferred is because I've got a lead foot. I got a heavy foot. And when I get pulled over and I can't call my lawyer in time or my police buddies in time, and I have to actually go before the judge or send my lawyer before the judge. I got a lawyer. I call him the weasel. because he's always weaseling me out of tickets. But he'll call me back, and I'll say, Russell, what'd you get done? He said, you've got deferred adjudication. So what's deferred adjudication? Deferred adjudication means that you don't owe anything now. Well, to them, he says, you owe me a lot, but you don't owe anything to them. But he said, you cannot drive like that anymore, because if you get another ticket, that one that was deferred shows back up. And now you got two tickets you got to deal with. Can I encourage you? Don't defer your hope. Don't put your hope in tomorrow. Don't put your hope in next year. Don't put your hope in a political party. Come on. Don't put your hope in a certain amount of money. I know people before they were millionaires, they were miserable. And I know them after they're millionaires. And guess what? They're still miserable. Money is not going to solve your problems. Money will magnify what you already are. Money will magnify what you already are. It just gives you more money to do what you're already doing. Come on now. It says hope deferred makes the heart sick. If hope deferred makes the heart sick, then hope now makes the heart healthy. We've got to quit moving from here, for hope from here to tomorrow, or here to this person, or this going on. And we've got to get all of our hope in this moment right now. Because when you get hope right now, the Bible says your heart becomes healthy. If hope deferred makes heart sick, then hope now makes heart healthy. So we're always talking about now faith. You'll never have a now faith until you have now hope. Now hope unleashes now faith. If you don't have a faith move, maybe faith isn't your problem. Hope is your problem. Maybe you've made faith magic and not miraculous. Maybe you've made faith about coming to this altar, hitting it three times and rubbing it a certain way. And if they sing this song, and this song, and if Bishop touches me and prays for me, or if I can get Ferdic, all of these things that we make Christianity what it is not. Anytime we do that, we don't have a faith problem. We have a hope problem. Get your hopes up. Your hopes go up, your faith follows. Your belief goes up, your faith follows. In spite of all of this, you'll be told over and over again in your life, don't get your hopes up. Not only told that, but by the people that mean the most to you in your life. Your parents, spouses, siblings, teachers, yes, even pastors. The people that love you the most. People that love you the most. One of my favorite teachers in the world, I won't tell you his name, but one of my favorite teachers in the world, I remember having long discussions with him as a junior and a senior, and God was beginning to direct my life. And when I got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost and called into ministry, and that was July between my junior and senior year, and things shifted, I remember having conversations and telling him what I was going to do, and him trying to talk me out of that. And here we are 20-some years later, And we've laughed about it now. We've laughed about it. He said, man, I had no clue you were on the trajectory that you were on. He said, man, I wish I hadn't said that. I said, man, don't worry about not saying that. I'm just glad I didn't listen to it. I'm just glad I had a higher power. I'm glad that I had parents. I had a crew. I had a squad that I got with that drowned out your voice of hopelessness with a voice of hope. And listen, most of the people that tell you don't get your hopes up, it's not because they hate you. They are trying to minimize your disappointment. They want to protect you from being let down. The most well-meaning, misguided advice to your life is don't get your hopes up. It's the mantra of the fearful, the banner of the doubtful, the declaration of the skeptical, the sedative of the unbeliever. Don't get your hopes up is the thought process that made Esau sell his birthright. His birthright, it pictures his future and his destiny. Don't give your future away just because you're having a depletion of hope right now. Your future is still set. God's promises are still in effect. God just needs your hopes up so that your faith can come up. And when your faith and your hopes come up, let me tell you something. Your future, your birthright, what God has called and created you to be will follow in Jesus' name. Don't get your hopes up is the thought process that made Saul abandon his throne. That's his position. his authority. I'm telling you right now, you might not have the position you think you should have. You might not have the authority that God promised you would have. But let me tell you, you are one infusion of hope away from becoming everything that God called you to be. Don't you know when God said no to Saul and yes to David? David didn't know that heaven had already said yes. He was still out there watching the sheep on the backside of nowhere. But suddenly a messenger appeared saying, "Hey, David, today is your day. The man of God is waiting with a horn of anointing oil." David said, "I didn't know it was going to be today, but I had hope that today could be the day. And if today is not the day, Monday's my day. And if the anointing don't show up Monday, Tuesday's my day. And if it's not Tuesday, I'll go to bed thinking Wednesday morning when I wake up, Samuel will be there. My anointing will be there. My authority will be there. And the position that God called me will be there." Don't get your hopes up is the thought process that led the prodigal to head for the pig pen. His lack of hope cost him relationships, the right relationships. It cost him family for a season. But what it really did, and this is something that we really don't take, is sometimes when we lose the good relationships, we open ourselves up to the bad ones. He loses a father that we know the love of this father throughout this story because he keeps everything prepared. He won't let mama convert the son's bedroom into an office or a workout room. Why? My hope is he's coming home. I believe every day that prodigal's father stood on the porch of his life and he was looking out. And after the first or second day, I'm sure some family was out there with him. But after a week or two, he was the only one standing out there. And I'm sure the people working, his employees and his family were saying, "The old man's gone crazy. I heard that that young man ain't never coming back." But there the father was. But he lost that relationship. He joined himself with a bunch of friends that loved to spend his money. Be careful who you're friends with and why they're your friends. It's amazing to me that your friends change when you no longer supply them with dope. Your friends change when you're no longer at the bar buying them shots. Your friends change when you're no longer Mr. or Mrs. Moneybags and just making it rain up in the club. And you're no longer making sure they have everything they need. But now that you're trying to give them Jesus, they don't want to hear all that. Now that you're trying to deal them a different hope, they don't want to deal with all that. Be careful who you're friends with and why you're friends with him. He hooked himself up with the wrong friends. How do you know that, Pastor? Because when he ran out of money, he ran out of friends. Then the Bible says he joined himself to a citizen of that country, a country he was never supposed to be in, and he joined himself to a father figure that was not a father. The father's waiting at a house with a fatted calf, a ring, and a robe, waiting for his son to come back, hoping his son would come back. The father figure he attaches himself to puts him in the pig pen and lets him eat with the pig. You show me a prodigal, I will just show you one young person or one person who just needs a little hope. So what should you do as mom and dad? Love them. Well, I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. Well, they're going to keep being a prodigal. Don't give them a piece of your mind. Give them a piece of your hope. Keep loving them. Keep inspiring them. Well, I want them here. I want them on this praise team. Man, they can sing so good. That's good. I want them on the praise team too. But that's not going to happen today. But hope can happen today. They can call you before. Relationships were cost and relationships were collateral damage all because hope was gone. Don't get your hopes up. And finally, don't get your hopes up is the thought process that led Judas to betray Jesus. Depression. As much as we want to make it about chemical imbalances, and I'm not saying there is not a place for that, and I realize that the politically correct way to say those things, and I'm not saying that depression cannot be some of that, but I do know that most depression stems or it produces hopelessness. You're not happy with the way your life is, the trajectory of your life. Suicide is the most hopeless state you can be in because it's so bad. that you don't want to live anymore. Just think about that. When someone takes their own life, they have literally gotten to the place where there's no more thoughts that tomorrow could be better. They lost their job. There's no more tomorrow my dream company might call me. Their wife or husband just left them. There is no this time next year I can meet the man of my dreams or the woman of my dreams. All hope is lost. Judas is probably the most hopeless person that has ever lived because he knew Jesus, walked with Jesus, heard every sermon that Peter heard, saw every miracle that James and John had seen, was at the Last Supper. We observe communion to remember what Christ did. He sat at the table. But when hope was taken from him, the Bible says he took himself to a tree and he hung himself, costing him his relationship with Jesus. We've talked about Saul's authority. We've talked about David's anointing. We've talked about the prodigal, but man, what a hopeless place it is when it costs you your relationship with Jesus. Most of us are not in that place, but perhaps someone is watching today online that might be to that point, that you're ready to end it all today. Maybe you've got a gun in your hand or a bottle of pills in your hand, and I'm telling you, there is hope for you. There is a tomorrow. If you're sitting in this room today and you've been contemplating your future and you don't like how it is now, hope says your tomorrow is not going to look like your today. Your next is not going to look like your now. You say, Pastor, how can you guarantee that? Because I know Jesus Christ, and I want you to know him too. He is my anchor. He is the reason above all reason. He gave me breath. He gave me future. He gave me vision. He gave me family. He gave me marriage. He gave me church. He gave me ministry. He gave me money. Everything I have is founded in him. Pastor Becky, if you'll come, we have this hope. We have this hope. Stand on your feet. There was one thing I wanted to get to today, and I didn't quite get there, but I'm glad I have another week to pray about it and to unpack it a little more. But in America, we do ourselves a disservice by putting hope in anything but Jesus. We look to Washington, and we think that this man or this woman, they're our next great hope, that they're going to change things. I don't know who you voted for 6 years ago or who you voted for last year, but I'm going to tell you, both of them are liars. And some of it isn't lying on purpose. Some of it is they found out they cannot do what they promised to do. So we pray, we vote, we live. That's what we do. But my hope is not in President Biden. My hope is not in our governor. Our hope is not in former presidents. My hope, it's in Jesus. And anytime, I'll tell you where we're going with this next week. The Bible says that hope is an anchor. We're going to get there. But any time in my life, Sean, that I feel my hope waning, I lean into Jesus more. I turn off Netflix. Come on now. I don't go out with my friends to have dinner that night. I say, Jesus, I need to get me right. I'm not going to defer my hope to Sunday morning at church. Come on now. I'm not going to defer my hope to next year when we fast and pray. I'm not going to defer my hope to this conference. Or man, I heard Elevation's having a pop-up, and I'm going to defer my hope to that worship night. Nope, right here, right now. Now hope produces now faith. Remember this, hope believes it, faith demands it. Hope believes it, faith demands it. Hope gives birth. I don't know where you're at in your life, and I don't know what questions you have. I don't know how your family's doing, your career, your job, struggling with purpose. Why am I here? Those big life questions we have. And they're not only being asked by 17 and 18-year-olds. They're being asked by 55-year-olds. I want to encourage you to step out of your seat. I don't want you to think about it. I don't want you to ask your husband to come.